In today's podcast, we are introducing the concept of the NRV. What is the NRV? Well, if you have any sort of goal in your life that is remotely financial based, you are going to want to take a listen to this episode. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Hair of the Dog podcast. If you're a pet photographer ready to make more money and start living a life by your design, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, pet photographer, travel addict, chocolate martini connoisseur, Nicole Begley.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hair of the Dog podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Begley. And today we have our House of Champion leader, Heather Lodnan, back with us to lead us into the House of Champions, talking about success today, how we define that success, and all of those things. Heather, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I actually introduced that term to my children when they were younger as a way to somehow motivate them to clean up after themselves. I will tell you that it mostly did not work, but I would always say, like, you know, in regards to how you present yourself at school or with your friends or how you live in a space, like, this is a house of champions. So I did this for years. And of course, I did not think they were paying attention. But my daughter just created a group text for us, for just our immediate family. So Craig, Evan, her, and myself. And she named it House of Champions.
See, they are listening.
They are, in fact, listening. I could not believe it. So it worked. It's in their brains, at least.
I love it. I love it. So when we think of success, I'm pretty sure I'm guilty of this. You're guilty of this. Probably every single person listening is guilty to this, that we tend to jump to money, revenue as our indicator of success. Like, first thing off the top, which is not really useful or helpful.
Well, yeah, because it puts our focus possibly in the wrong direction, one could argue. So, I mean, I understand why we do it. Money to me is like megapixels. Okay, here's why. When cameras were released, when they first released digital cameras and they were upgrading all of the time, you know, and they still do, obviously, there would always be like no changes to the camera, except it would have more megapixels. And I used to talk about this in some of the speeches I gave, and I would say, do you know why that is? Because consumers need a gauge. They need a metric to see why this is better. So we're going to add more megapixels. Because if you think about it, Nicole, you're shooting that R5 right now. Is that 45 megapixels?
It's a lot. 40? I don't know. It's 45 or 50. It's a lot.
5 million pixels on a sensor that's this big, you know, like, okay. So it's the same with money in that we need an easy metric. So it's really easy to look at your finances in terms of your business and say, yes or no, either I'm successful, either money's coming in and I'm successful or it's not. And we define it based on, by the way, we make it up, imaginary. Like, some people will say, well, I was successful this year because I made $10,000. Well, if it was their first year and they brought $10,000 in from their business and they find that successful, then great. But another person, I don't know, like you, if you brought in $10,000 from your business this year, I'm guessing you wouldn't label that as a success.
No, we'd have a big problem, especially since I have a team.
That would just not work.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have a payroll that would not cover for a month. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. Yeah. So I want to start here with this money thing in that, well, two things. When we're focusing on the money, you're focusing on what we don't have. So we're immediately focusing on the lack. We're immediately focusing on the gap. We're not focusing on the gain. We're like, oh my gosh, I want to be here and I'm here and I'm not. And here's all the problems and here's all the things that are going to go wrong and all the reasons I need to get here. I must. So you're reaching for that goal with so much desperation energy of just like white knuckling your way there, which is not going to help us do anything, which goes along with the fact that, as you mentioned, money is made up. It doesn't actually exist. You're like, okay, I've seen money. I have it in my wallet. Okay, yes, there is some cash. No country on earth can print all the cash that is actually in circulation. Therefore, it doesn't actually exist. It is literally ones and zeros of computer code on the internet out there behind hopefully something secure.
Hopefully some, but you're actually, if you really think about this, it's kind of messed up. It does not exist. It's just ones and zeros on a computer. And every single book you and I have read on money and the secrets and money manifestation and Happy Pocket Full of Money, especially the Richard Dodds books on money, all of them agree on this, that it's not real.
It's not real. We made it up. It's a collective illusion, hallucination that we all have, that we've all bought into and be like, okay, yes. So we don't have to get creative with like, right, well, I'll trade you these rocks for that corn. Like,
yes,
here's the money we can all exchange, but it is made up. So that's the first thing that we need to like get behind in our brains, or get in our brains of just like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Exist, which I can hear everybody be like, Nicole, I have to pay my bills. It does matter.
I get that. And I know this is really hard to grasp, especially this actually goes on with my theory on time, that time doesn't exist, that we've made it up. Yet we're looking at a clock. We scheduled this recording based on a time. Like, I get that we utilize it, but when you can really, and I will say this in all honesty, I have wrapped my brain around the fact that time doesn't exist. I'm pretty good in that regard. I still struggle with the money thing because it does, it feels so real. And I forget who it was, but I want to say it was Albert Einstein that it said, like, no matter how real it feels, doesn't mean that it actually exists. Okay. He said it better, but the point is it's not real. We just have it. Oh, and for the record, I did get paid for a portrait session one time with a bag of corn. So bartering is still a real thing. Also,
was it white corn? Was it corn on the cob? What kind of corn was this?
It was fresh sweet corn from the farm.
Okay, I do love sweet corn.
Yeah.
I miss that tremendously here because our corn is terrible.
And one time I accepted teeth whitening from a dentist in exchange for Photoshop lessons.
Oh, okay. All right.
The bartering system is real. And I know that there are people in our groups that when they're getting started or they have a friend, they have definitely bartered. So,
yeah.
I mean, the concept is true.
For sure. But we don't have to go to the grocery store with like, I don't know, random offerings from our house to exchange for food.
Yeah. So what we're trying to just get everyone to think about is like, why do we put so much emphasis on the success of our business being tied to the revenue?
Well, I think it's exactly what you said. We need a measuring stick. And that is the easiest, most obvious, thing that we go to for a measuring stick.
Okay. So what if there were another one?
Oh, what if there were?
What if you could sit down and ask yourself, how do I define success? And you weren't allowed to put money on that list.
Well, yeah, because here's a piece of that too, is let's say for one person, like you said, with that $10,000, it's the same thing for success. Somebody's version of photography success might be like, I just want to pay for a trip to Disney World with like a couple sessions this summer for my family. Somebody else might be like, I want to leave a corporate job and replace that and retire my husband. Those are two very different indicators of success financially. And there's so much more to it. Actually, before we dive into this, of this, how do we label success? I think an important question that we need to ask ourselves that will give us that answer is, what does this revenue goal that you have, the first thing that jumps in your mind, what does that actually give you? Mm. Because if I actually had $50,000 sitting here in my desk, like, it's just a whole bunch of pieces of paper. It actually doesn't do anything for me. Like, the money itself is not exciting. It's what that money makes possible for me that is exciting. So whatever revenue goal, like when you're thinking, what's success for you? Okay, a number might pop in your head. And if it does, what does that number make possible for you? Because that is what you should start measuring your success on.
Oh my gosh, that's brilliant. You're absolutely right. What does this make possible? What will I do with this money? And how will it make me feel?
Mm-hmm. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, what am I seeking? So for a lot of people, self included, it's security and stability.
Well, then it goes deeper than that, because what does security and stability actually look like? You know, what does that actually do for you to have security and stability?
Okay. Oh, I, okay. I'm in. I want to play this game. Okay. What? Okay. Because that's something for me. I want security. Although I did work with a coach last year who challenged me and asked me, well, where does stability and security come from? And I wanted to say money. And she challenged that. And what it ended up being was like, security and stability come from me and my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Which are probably, those thoughts were created based out of life and circumstance. And you can even get into the epigenetics of, like, you know, other people in your family tree, and everybody's thoughts about these things come through us. So, I mean, it's a scientific fact. So what does that security give you, or what thoughts, what feelings does that security give you?
Oh my gosh, this is so good, Nicole. I think for me, I would feel safe.
Mm-hmm. Safe from what?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Coach Nicole. safe. What does that even mean to be safe? Like, okay, I'm safe. I'm protected. I can't be harmed.
You have a house.
Sure, I have okay. Have a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food in your belly. Yeah. All of those things give me the feeling of security, stability, and safety, because I'm trying to avoid, this is another part of that question, is what are you avoiding by seeking that out? Mm-hmm. I want to avoid, like, worrying about anything, which is hilarious, right? Because you're going to find something to worry about. I want all worrying to cease to exist. And if I have money, I will know. But the funny thing is, the more money I make, the actually more you worry.
Well, yeah, you have a whole different set of worries, because then it's, now I have more bills. How do I keep this level of income? Now I have team that I have to pay. Like, it becomes a whole different set of
how do I maintain it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so funny. So again, I think when we're trying to define this, and it's kind of elusive, obviously, for me even, is that, like, we're seeking something that truly can only be found from within. And we're looking for it to come from money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I have money, then I will feel stable, secure, and safe. But how could you cultivate those feelings without the external need for ones and zeros in your bank account?
Correct. How can you create your NRVs?
Let's back up before you introduce the NRV.
I do want to talk a little bit about mine too, because it's very different. Because my feeling, like, the $1 million, the whatever the revenue goal gives me, is freedom and flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is different than security, but security is a piece of it. Like, obviously, it gives me the freedom of worry of having to pay for a roof over my head.
Yeah.
You know, like it takes all those worries off the table. Like you said, they're replaced with different concerns. But yeah, for me, it's the ability to do what I want to do when I want to do it with the people that I want to do it with, to be able to help and support different organizations or people or whatever that comes up, and just having so much flexibility and knowing that with that extra, you know, income or money in the bank, any sort of random issue, like my car decides to blow up or something happens, becomes a bit more of an inconvenience rather than this incredible stressful situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Inconvenient, not a catastrophe. You know what? When you're describing that, what it reminds me of is I have those as well too. I like freedom and flexibility. Those are definitely in my top 10 core values. But I remember an interview that Jennifer Lopez did. This is 100 years ago, like sort of early on in her career. She had just made it big. So she was making millions of dollars, and she bought her mom a mansion in Southern California. And in the interview, she was recounting, and she was kind of emotional. She said, she told her mom, no matter what happens, they can't take this from us. Because she had, like, paid cash for it. Mm-hmm. And this is
unless you don't pay your property taxes.
Well, right.
But that extortion is for another day.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she was like, this is ours. They can't take this. Because she grew up really poor.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
So it was important to her to give her mom that security and stability. Mm-hmm. But it's just so interesting to consider – I like how you went, like, one layer deeper. Like, what do you think the money, the success of money, is going to give you? How are you going to feel? And why do you seek that?
Yes. And I think, too, looking at yours and mine, even though we're labeling it differently, I think once you start digging down, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so this comes to like, it pulls in like the manifestation and all these different things where you want to get to this goal. You want to have this outcome. So you need to start looking for ways in your life to get that feeling, to nurture those thoughts, which will then lead to the money and all of the things that you were going for in the first place. But if your goal is solely on the money, it's going to be a heck of a lot harder time to get there.
It's absolutely backwards from what you think. Yeah. You have to cultivate those. And my coach had said to me, how can you generate stability and security now, regardless of income? And I said, I'm going to repeat to myself, and I still do this. I say, I am where security and stability comes from. I create it for myself with my mind. And when I do that and I truly drop into that, then that's the, you're right. The money just starts coming in because I'm coming from a place of sufficiency. I'm abundant.
Yeah. And, you know, you can look at it in a way too, that like, all right, if everything we had like was taken from us, went away, who knows, whatever, for whatever reason, like you still have your thoughts, you still have your brain, you still have the knowledge that got you to where you were. So could you not get there again?
Oh my gosh. I love that. What a great thought, which is, that, you know, the township could blow up. I don't actually live very close to a nuclear reactor, like less than a mile.
So, I'm actually within the inclusion zone of what would be the same, the one on Lake Norman. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. provided we survived, of course, you know, but if everything was like ruined, I have complete confidence in both of us to rebuild. Because of the knowledge I have amassed in my brain. And you can't, to Jennifer Lopez's point, you can't ever take that from me. Like you can't take my brain and my expertise and my skill set, my education. I have that from here till forever. So if something doesn't work, I trust myself to figure it out. Is that not the definition of stability?
I think like so.
Security. Really, if you think about it.
Yep.
Like, and it comes from me, not from money. Now, of course, I'm a human dealing with money, so I have to remind myself of this. That
regularly.
I mean, every day, I have to say, I'm where security comes from. I create stability. I create freedom and flexibility, and I can do whatever I want because I'm the boss. I'm in charge here. I can do it. And that's really freeing, which is one of your words, to be free. Like to feel like you can accomplish anything has nothing to do with money. How could you cultivate the thought? So our thoughts create our feelings. What would you need to feel? What would you need to think or believe in order to get that feeling, whether yours is, you know, confidence or stability, security, whatever it is, what would you need to think or believe to feel that? And then go think it. Go think that thought and watch money start coming in.
Yeah. And I would like to kind of morph this into the thoughts are the basis of it all. But action girl here. Like, can you start to think of ways that you feel that freedom and things that happen in your life?
Oh.
So things that are already in your life right now, like, what cultivates that feeling of security for you? Is it like, I know for one of yours is probably making an additional payment on your mortgage.
Yes.
One way, oh gosh, actually I didn't prepare for this. What is one way, something that I do now?
Yeah, to feel like freedom and flexibility.
I mean, actually this, I'm meeting my brother and my sister-in-law for lunch tomorrow. Wasn't on the schedule, but I can. So I am.
Okay. That is. Yes.
Yeah. Also not having to ask anyone when I just planned 3 trips back to back over later this month. Well, 2, I did not have a choice for the timing. And the 3rd is Thanksgiving, Christmas markets, Vienna, Munich, Salzburg.
I mean, isn't that what everybody thinks of?
I mean, obviously, some people I could see would make the decision, hey, I have to go to Arizona the week before, and I have to go to Orange County, California the week after. Maybe I'll just stay home that week. No, that's not how
you.
I roll, Heather.
Not
but
you.
Anyway, okay, I digress.
Yeah, so you did that. Those actions, I guess, just reinforce
my thoughts, really. Yeah. That, and I think the thought is, my thought is, I can create this life however I want to do it. Like, I have always, and I also lean into the, I have always been okay. I always will be okay. I have, like, I'm not over here irresponsibly spending all of my money. Like, we have retirement savings. Like, we have equity in the home. We have a rental property. Like, I have set up security so that I can enjoy the freedom.
And you did that. Like, congratulations. Mm-hmm. Like, you created that life because you believed it was possible. Mm-hmm. You were able to take that action because it came from a belief that you could create it. Mm-hmm. And I've got to say, this is key. Don't, like, gloss over this if you're listening. You have to believe it's possible for you.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, no amount of action is going to lead to the result you are seeking. Mm-hmm. It starts with the belief. And you leaned into that, I think, probably when you left, you know, your job and started your own business.
I leaned into this before I even started working.
Really?
I didn't know that it was my belief and thought, but I always had this belief that, like, I can create this life doing the things I love, which is why I worked in the zoo world for 13 years. I love animals. I love training animals. Like, I'm not going to work at a desk all day. I go to, like, the doctor or the dentist, and I'm like, dude, you have to go room to room and see the same stuff all day, every day. This is like my personal definition of hell. No amount of money could get me to do this. Oh my God.
I know. It would kill you because that's like that's institutionalized. They're in an institution.
Yeah.
You know, I would say that you definitely leaned into this at a younger age than I did because I worked corporate for a while and I knew I was going to make a lot of money. Like, I felt good about my earning potential, but I didn't realize, I think at the time in my early 20s, that I could create it for myself.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, the other piece of mind too, because, you know, I was in the zoo world, like, at the most, guys, after 13 years, an assistant director of animal crow programs, I was making $35,000 a year. I was not making a lot of money. Like, there was no get rich quick or ever in that field. But I still had a belief that I can still create this life full of travel and adventure, which I did. I mean, the aviary sent me to South Africa for 2 weeks. I went to conferences, like, all of these things just happened. I learned how to credit card hack to go on personal trips. Like, there was just so many opportunities there because I always just believed that, yeah, of course I could do this. And it wasn't, I don't even know where it came from. It was just like this deep-seated belief that it was like, you know, and it might not work out this moment, this month, this year, but, like, it's happening. I don't know exactly when, but, like, I will get to do these things that I dream of doing. I mean, really, and it morphed into this business too. I'd never 10 years ago when I started, well, gosh, oh my God, 13 years ago when I started this business, it was just to make some additional income and photograph, like, and something that I had control of. Never in a million years did I think it would turn into this. But anyway.
Here we are. Okay. So if you were to put this in, like, a document succinctly, how would Nicole Begley define success outside of money?
Outside of money. Freedom of calendar. Freedom to choose my calendar and do what I want, like, to schedule my days, week, life, as I see fit.
Okay. I'm definitely using that because I love it. Mm-hmm. Freedom to do what you want, when you want. That's your definition of success. And everything just kind of flows from that. So that's it. Pretty simply, right? Is there more?
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, that's the main. And then all the other things are under it. So, like, I look at the freedom piece of it, and that has underneath of it, like, you know, some financial security, you know, quality relationships, friendships, like, all of those things are the, like, building blocks, the pieces underneath that freedom top point of the pyramid.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I'm thinking that might be mine now. That's my definition of success. I can take, like you said, you can travel, you can take Fridays off, you can go to horse shows, you can...
I think you can do the same thing, though. I just think you tend to put security as that top piece, but your underneath pillars are still very similar.
Yes.
Like your security gives you that flexibility and freedom.
Yes.
Where my freedom gives me my security.
Yes.
So it's the same thing. It's just we flip-flop what we label is most important to us.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Because if I were to define mine, it would be to think and feel that I'm creating my own security and stability, that I'm where it comes from, to feel safe and self-reliant. Like I can create anything I want. And that leads to that freedom and flexibility piece. Yep. I think
it's just we have different definitions and different emotional charges to
yes.
Like, for instance, someone describes me as nurturing and I'm like, oh, God, no. Like, there's nothing wrong with nurturing. And someone's like, you are very nurturing. Look at all of your animals. I'm like, oh, okay, towards animals, yes, I am very nurturing.
It's true.
But there's just certain, like, we put this emotional baggage on different words. And don't mishear me. You're like, Nicole, I thought words mattered. They do. Because whatever emotional baggage you put on that word, you're pulling that energy when you use that word. So you just need to look at what words you've charged. And I've charged freedom is way more reinforcing. And you've charged security.
Yes.
They all, I think, build under the same thing.
Yes. And they all lead to the same ultimate mm-hmm. outcome that we think we would get if we had money.
Yes. Yes. If we had a certain revenue goal.
Yes. But we're just flipping it around and saying, how can you cultivate that now? How can you lean into those thoughts and beliefs so that you can feel sufficient? And then that's when the money starts coming in. So the bottom line is to define success for your business based solely on revenue and sales, I believe is a mistake.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And I think it will drive you to make decisions. It will cause feelings you don't like, which will drive you to make decisions that aren't in alignment and don't produce the results mm-hmm. that you are seeking.
And create judgment against yourself and your ability.
Yeah. You use it against yourself mm-hmm. to like, well, I didn't hit the 10,000. So I'm going to feel bad about it. You know?
That's not meant for me. This isn't going to work. It works for them. It won't work for me.
Nothing. I'm broken. Yep. I can't be fixed. Nobody knows. Yeah. On and on. So that leads us to, we were having a discussion with one of our Progress Lab students recently, mm-hmm. and she was talking about defining success completely based on money. You know, this is mm-hmm. obviously where this came from, but you came up with something. Okay. You are absolutely the brainchild behind what we are about to share, but I would like to think I sparked it mm-hmm. when I said the following. I said, okay, you're defining success in business based on money. She said, yes. I said, okay, that's like defining success on like a health journey as purely weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm on a health journey and yes, I want to get healthier and lose weight, and I set a number for the scale and that is my only metric, I am setting myself up for disappointment and failure. And in the weight loss world, they often talk about non-scale victories. Non-scale victories mm-hmm. are things like, I feel better. I have more mm-hmm. energy. My pants fit a little bit better. Because you know, if you're building muscle, you might actually mm-hmm. gain weight. So mm-hmm. It's not related to the scale. Weight loss is not always related to the scale, just like money is not always related to the success of a business. So I was explaining this. And you said the following, which I would like you to introduce now, which was brilliant.
I forget exactly what I said, but I said basically like, all right, here's your homework right now. You are no longer allowed to have any sort of revenue victories. You can only have NRVs, non-revenue victories. What are your non-revenue victories? Go.
I loved this moment of brilliance so much that we are introducing it into our vernacular inside of Elevate. Talk to me. Certainly have your revenue goals. Like we're not, you know, undercutting that. But talk to me about your non-revenue victories.
Well, here's one of the other things too. And one of the reasons that this conversation sparked is because she was tying so much of her worth towards that revenue success, because I believe the words were like, oh, so if you don't grow this year, the year is a failure. And I was like, yes.
Like, they were like, straight up.
Oh, no. Like, that is not going to serve you anywhere, any shape or form. So this is where we're like, you have to focus on this. And then the more we thought about it, this also came at the time that we were reading All It Takes Is a Goal by John Acuff. Highly recommend. Must read. It's right there with Gap and Gain of, like, I think the two most impactful books that I have ever read. Ever, period. That and Happy Pocket Full of Money. I love that book. Anyway, in that book, it talks about creating a best moments list where it's like the first thing that you do, because the whole premise is that we don't really know what we want. You know, you hear this all the time. You need to know where you're going. You need to know what your vision is. And seems like such a big insurmountable goal and you don't want to get it wrong. How do you really know? And oh my God, it's just so people just don't. They just stay where they are, where they're comfortable, keep going, doing the status quo, maybe like a little 10% increase in something here or there, but like nothing of like revolutionary, groundbreaking. So the exercise was create this best moments list of like big things, little things, anything where you're like, like that was great. Like a little gratitude moment. Like for me, one of them was I was driving home from the barn and the sun was just so, and there's this little lake with this little dock and there's a great blue heron on it and it was so beautiful. And I was just like, best moment. And then some of the other ones are like, you know, big, epic, whatever, like landing on a glacier from a plane in Alaska. Like, okay, great. Best moment. Like, there's so many of any magnitude, and only you can define the best moment. And then you look at your best moments and you break them down into four categories: experience, relationship, achievement, and object. And you can start to see what really motivates you. And these are really kind of non-revenue victories. So in this particular coaching case, we're like, all right, related to your business, what are these non-revenue victories that you're looking for? But you can do this for your whole life. What are your non-revenue victories? What does that revenue make possible in your personal life that you are going after? Start to look at it in that way. And here's the thing. When you are making these lists and you get into the habit of like periodically, I'll just jump over. I have a Monday board, shocking. Monday board in my best moments list. I jump over and I add things to it. I am then dropping into that gratitude of that best moment list way more often. I am on the lookout all day, every day for new best moments list. What do you think that's attracting into my life?
More moments.
More best moments.
Yeah.
You know, not crappy moments. Like otherwise, like the days that you wake up and you're like, it's cold, it's rainy, it's awful, and like everything's going wrong. Yeah. You're not only attracting more of that into your life, you're noticing more of that in life. So you're sitting in that like just yucky vibration. This is the same thing about a revenue goal versus a non-revenue goal. If you have a revenue goal, you're sitting in that, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm like, here's this gap. I need to get there. Where if you can instead focus on your non-revenue outcomes and your non-revenue victories, like what do I want my non-revenue outcomes to be? And then what can my non-revenue victories be? Which can be something as simple as, I sent email to a potential marketing partner today. I don't care what the outcome is. That is an NRV, baby.
Yes, because you're winning because you're taking action from a place of like, this is working. I know what I'm doing. You start to notice that you're winning more often than you're not, because what you're describing there is building the blocks in the gain.
Yep.
You're building them from the gain instead of looking at that lack in the gap. And it just changes everything because of your reticular activating system, which is what you were referring to when you get what you focus on. What you focus on, you will feel. What you focus on, you will get. And if you're focused on, I can't hit this revenue, I can't hit this sale, I've never done it, oh, woe is me, and it's just like awful, and you sit in that crap, you're going to start to smell. It's not pleasant. Stand up, dust yourself off, and start to focus on the best moments in your business, what you've created, where you're winning, and then how can I create more of those? What does that look like? And I agree with you. Read the book and do the exercise. It was life-changing for me. I looked at all of these moments, and it was so eye-opening how important relationships are to me.
Mine are relationships and experiences intertwined.
Yeah. Yeah, those are my highest as well. Mm-hmm. Guess what was dead last for, I think it was for you too, right?
Yeah, objects.
Objects. It didn't even matter. It was like two mm-hmm. things on there, you know? Mm-hmm. But everything else was about people.
Yeah, and even the objects that mattered were because of the people that were connected to the object.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't have anything to do with the things we think we want or need.
Yep. Yep.
This
there was no Hermes purse on either one of our lists. Gosh. Shocking, guys.
No $35,000 purse for me. Thank you. When we were talking to her on this call that we were on, I really felt like she is one thought, one shift away from a completely different experience of her life and business.
Yes.
And it had to do with this reverence. She was so focused on it, which seems like on the surface, like, oh, that's good. I'm focused on growth and mm-hmm. sales, but not when you use it against yourself,
mm-hmm.
which and is what was happening.
You're using it as a judging, like a how to judge yourself on success.
Yes. Yeah, no. It was just not
because you can't actually control it. So here's the thing. You can control the action that you're going to take. You can control the thoughts you're going to choose to think. You can't control if somebody actually purchases something.
Correct.
That's out of your control. So to tie all of your worth to this revenue victory of somebody else's free will decision, it's not your best strategy.
I mean, think about it. If I tie 100% of my worth to something that is 100% outside of my control.
Yeah, like whether somebody signs up for Elevate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But if I focus my efforts on what I can control, then the ironic thing to all of this is then it just works. It's just people come in, people pay, mm-hmm. people join, people hire me, people hire you.
People have transformations that make it all worthwhile for everyone.
I mean, an impact, you know, people mm-hmm. and lives and animals, like more than we can even wrap our brains around. Like, this is truly life-changing work. And I am telling you, you are one thought away from a completely different experience of your business. And I wonder if for a lot of people, this isn't it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just truly getting into a habit of focusing on recording the wins you have, the non-revenue victories you have each day. So this is your homework. Can you take out a little sheet of paper, a little pad of paper, keep it next to your computer, and at the end of your workday, write down your non-revenue victories?
Done. I mean, amazing.
If you did that for 21 days.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe 30. Life-changing.
Yeah. Let's say you did it for ease of math, for 30 days, and you wrote three things down each day,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you would see 90 ways that you are winning in 30 in 1 month, mm-hmm. 90 ways that you won, that you experienced success in your business. And to the point in The Gap and the Gain by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy is that you start to notice that you're just winning all the time. You're just like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm just a winner. I just am in a house of champions.
Well, and that changes your identity. Once you start realizing that you're having these non-revenue victories, you are now running a legit photography studio. You are an in-demand portrait artist. Like, you are living into that. You are acting, you are being that person, and you will take on the identity of that person, which then comes down all those logical levels of changing your environment at the end. Like, you can't work up.
Right. And yeah. I got to tell you, this is actually really, really good news because it's easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so easy to just think new mm-hmm. thoughts, and it shifts everything.
Yep. So you guys let us know, please, 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 please send us some DMs on Instagram at Flourish Academy at Nicole Bagley Official. We want to know what your non-revenue victories are and celebrate with you. They could be big. They could be small. I mean, there's just so much opportunity out there. And I honest to God think if you did this for a month, it would change your whole entire life.
Agreed.
So there you go. We'll be checking in. In a month.
Look out. Here we come.
You guys have done this. But truly, just here's your New Year's resolution. Stick with it. If you're going to keep one habit, like, do this over flossing your teeth. You know, start your flossing your teeth in 30 days. This is more important.
That's funny you say that, because my daughter was at the dentist today for lack of flossing her teeth. So, okay. But okay,
maybe floss your teeth too.
Yeah.
But you should definitely work this into your schedule. All right, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening to the Hair of the Dog podcast. This was episode number 217. If you want to check out the show notes for access to any of the resources that we mentioned, simply go to www.hairofthedogacademy.com/216.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Hair of the Dog podcast. If you enjoyed this show, please take a minute to leave a review. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss our upcoming episodes. One last thing. If you are ready to dive into more resources, head over to our website at www.hairofthedogacademy.com. Thanks for being a part of this pet photography community.